What if everything you thought you knew about learning was wrong? What if rereading, highlighting, and cramming the most common study methods were not just ineffective, but actually sabotaging your ability to retain information? Imagine unlocking a smarter, science-backed way to learn, one that not only improves your memory, but transforms how you think, adapt, and grow. This isn't fiction. This is reality, backed by decades of cognitive science. In this audiobook, we dive into Make It Stick, a powerful book that reveals the science of successful learning. You'll discover why struggling during study is actually a sign of progress, why forgetting helps you remember, and why true mastery comes from effort, not ease. Whether you're a student, teacher, professional, or lifelong learner, this knowledge will change the way you learn forever. Let's begin. Chapter 1. The Myth of Easy Learning. We've been conditioned to believe that ease equals effectiveness. You read a chapter twice, highlight the important bits, and feel confident. It feels familiar. It feels good. But here's the brutal truth. Familiarity does not equal understanding. In fact, fluency, that smooth feeling of rereading a sentence you've seen before, is often a trap. It gives the illusion of mastery. You think you know the content, but when tested days later, the knowledge vanishes. Why? Because passive review, like highlighting and rereading, doesn't force the brain to work. It doesn't create the struggle that leads to real memory formation. Scientific studies have revealed that active retrieval, the process of pulling information from memory, is what actually strengthens learning. In one experiment, students who were repeatedly tested on material without rereading it outperformed those who reread the material multiple times. The difference wasn't small, it was dramatic. The tested group retained significantly more information weeks later. This finding flies in the face of traditional methods, and it tells us something essential. If learning feels easy, it probably isn't working. But we resist this truth because it feels better to read and feel smart than to test ourselves and feel uncertain. The problem is, real learning demands effort. It demands what scientists call desirable difficulties, challenges that slow down learning in the short term but anchor it more deeply for the long term. Think about lifting weights. Muscles don't grow from simply watching someone else train. They grow when you feel resistance. The brain works the same way. It needs resistance to grow stronger. Consider the case of an airline pilot who spends time in a flight simulator, forced to make split-second decisions under pressure. That environment is challenging, even uncomfortable. But it prepares the pilot for the real thing. Likewise, when we engage in effortful learning, we prepare our minds for real understanding. That's why Make It Stick begins by tearing down the myths of effortless learning to build a better foundation, one rooted in truth, science, and results. In this chapter, the authors remind us, mastery is not about feeling good. It's about doing what works, even when it's hard. The more we embrace this discomfort, the more powerful our learning becomes. And that's the first step to making it stick. Chapter 2, Retrieval Practice. The most powerful learning tool. Imagine this. You finish reading a textbook chapter and feel like you've got it all figured out. You close the book, move on, and a few days later, nothing. The facts are gone. The definitions slip away. The ideas feel distant. That's not failure of intelligence. That's failure of strategy. And the most powerful remedy? Retrieval practice. Retrieval practice is the process of recalling information from memory, not looking up, not rereading it, but actively trying to bring it to mind. This simple act of struggle and recall is like weightlifting for the brain. Every time you force yourself to remember something, you strengthen your ability to recall it in the future. In one groundbreaking study, students were split into groups. One group reread a passage multiple times. The other read once, then took a test. A week later, the group that had taken the test remembered significantly more than the rereading group. The takeaway? Testing is not just for assessment, it's for learning. But here's what's even more surprising. You don't have to get the answer right for it to work. The attempt to retrieve, even if incorrect, enhances memory. Why? Because retrieval creates cues, builds mental connections, and signals to your brain that this information is valuable. The brain pays attention to what it's asked to recall. Retrieval also interrupts forgetting. Each time you recall, you interrupt the decay of memory and reset its strength. And the harder the retrieval, the more powerful the reinforcement. That's why low-stakes quizzes, flashcards, and self-testing are so effective. They're not about judgment. They're about growth. Let's put this into real life. Say you're learning a new language. Instead of rereading vocabulary lists, cover them up and try to recall each word. Struggle with it. Speak it aloud. Even get it wrong. Then check your answer and try again. That effort is building your brain's ability to retrieve it later when it really matters. Or imagine you're a medical student. Instead of rereading symptoms and diagnoses, you quiz yourself. What does this symptom point to? Your brain scans, searches, sweats, and even if you don't get it right, the process prepares you to succeed when the pressure is on. Here's another example, pilots. They practice emergency scenarios not to memorize instructions, but to train their brains to retrieve the right response under stress. Their survival and the safety of their passengers depends on retrieval practice. The authors of Make It Stick call this the most powerful learning strategy available, and yet it's underused. Why? Because it feels uncomfortable. It doesn't give you that instant gratification that rereading does. But comfort is the enemy of deep learning. If you want knowledge to last, if you want it to stick, you need to test yourself often and without fear. So next time you study, stop rereading. Start retrieving. Ask yourself, what do I remember? What can I recall without looking? That struggle is where real learning begins. Chapter 3. Spaced Repetition. The Art of Forgetting to Remember. What if forgetting wasn't a failure, but a feature of how the brain works? What if spacing out your study sessions instead of cramming could actually make your memory stronger? That's the surprising insight behind one of the most powerful tools in cognitive science, spaced repetition. Here's how it works. When you first learn something, your memory of it is fragile. It fades quickly unless reinforced. But instead of reviewing the material immediately and repeatedly in a short period, you wait. You allow yourself to start forgetting. And then, just as your memory begins to fade, you review again. That effort to recall, just when it's about to slip away, cements it deeper in your brain. This feels counterintuitive. Why would forgetting help memory? But science tells us that retrieving knowledge after a delay makes it stronger. The act of reactivating fading memory engages more neural pathways. It signals to your brain, this is important. Keep it. Think of it like walking through a field of grass. The first time, you bend a few blades. But if you come back the next day, then a few days later, and again the next week, you start to wear a visible path. That's what spaced repetition does in your mind. Now compare that to cramming. You read something 5 times in one night. It feels like it's sinking in. But a few days later, the trail disappears. No retrieval, no reinforcement, no memory. Spaced repetition works because it embraces timing. You space out your sessions so that you're always retrieving just on the edge of forgetting. That's when learning sticks best. It's why language learning apps like Duolingo and Anki are built on spaced repetition algorithms. They measure when you're likely to forget something and bring it back just in time to refresh it. In Make It Stick, the authors highlight research showing that students who space their studying over weeks retain significantly more than those who master their learning in one session. And it's not just students. Doctors, pilots, athletes, all benefit from training that's spaced out over time. Consider how this works in daily life. Let's say you want to memorize a new skill like coding. You write a function today, then you write it again tomorrow. But instead of repeating it again and again in one session, you review the next week. When you come back, it's harder to recall. But that struggle, that reaching, makes it stay with you longer. Or maybe you're preparing for a presentation. Instead of rehearsing 5 times in one evening, you rehearse once today, once tomorrow, again in 2 days, and then once more a week later. That spacing allows your brain to refresh and retain, building mastery over time. Here's a key principle from the book. Forgetting is not the enemy. It's part of the process. You allow some forgetting, then retrieve. That cycle of loss and recovery makes the memory resilient. So how do you apply this practically? Plan reviews days apart, not minutes. Use tools like flashcards or apps that space material intelligently. Keep coming back over time, even after you think you've learned it. It might not feel as satisfying as cramming, but what feels good in the moment rarely lasts. Spaced repetition may feel slower, but it's smarter. Because real learning isn't about how much you can hold right now. It's about how much you'll still know next month, next year, or for life. Chapter 4. Interleaving Mix It Up to Master It. Imagine a basketball player who practices only free throws every single day, over and over. Another player mixes it up free throws, three-pointers, layups, dribbling drills, and full-court sprints. Who do you think becomes the better player? Surprisingly, it's the second one, the one who interleaves. Why? Because real performance doesn't happen in a vacuum. In the real world, we face mixed problems, unpredictable challenges, and dynamic environments. Interleaving prepares your brain for that. It's the art of mixing different types of problems, subjects, or skills during practice, rather than focusing on one at a time in blocks. In Make It Stick, the authors present interleaving as one of the most misunderstood, yet powerful strategies for long-term mastery. At first, it feels messy. Your brain struggles. You make more mistakes. But beneath the struggle, something powerful is happening. Your brain starts to discriminate, compare, and connect. It learns not just how to do something, but when and why to do it. Consider a study with students learning how to calculate the volume of different geometric shapes. One group practiced problems in blocks first, all cubes, then all cones, then spheres. The second group mixed the problems randomly. The blocked group did better during practice. But when tested later, the interleaved group outperformed them by far. Why? Because interleaving forced them to identify the type of problem and apply the right method, not just repeat a formula by rote. Or imagine learning to play piano. If you only practice one song at a time until perfect, your brain becomes reliant on muscle memory without context. But if you rotate between songs slow, fast, classical, jazz, you build deeper understanding, flexibility, and real musical fluency. This principle extends far beyond academics. Athletes, musicians, doctors, pilots all benefit from mixed, varied, and unpredictable practice. It mirrors the real-world conditions they'll face. You don't get to choose the exact problem, so you train by challenging your brain to make decisions in a mixed environment. Here's how you can use interleaving. Rotate topics while studying. Instead of spending an hour on just one subject, spend 15-20 minutes each on several. Mix types of problems, especially in math, science, or language learning. Combine old and new material to constantly reinforce previous knowledge. Vary your practice environment to avoid context-dependent learning. It's tempting to stay in one lane. It feels good to practice one thing until it feels smooth. But that ease can be deceptive. Mastery isn't built on comfort. It's built on flexibility, judgment, and the ability to adapt. That's what interleaving gives you. So, next time you study or train, resist the urge to block, mix it up, confuse yourself, struggle a little. That's how your brain learns to recognize patterns, make distinctions, and truly master the material. Because in the real world, life doesn't come at you in chapters. It comes all at once. And when you've trained for that, you don't just remember, you perform. Chapter 5. Desirable Difficulties. Why struggle makes learning stronger. We tend to avoid struggle. We associate difficulty with failure, effort with inadequacy. But what if the very things we try to avoid while learning confusion, mistakes, delays, are the exact things that make learning stronger? This is the powerful concept known as desirable difficulties. Coined by cognitive psychologist Robert Bjork, desirable difficulties are challenges that slow down learning in the short term, but enhance retention and understanding in the long term. It's the kind of difficulty that feels frustrating while you're doing it, but pays off massively later. In Make It Stick, the authors emphasize that easy learning is often fragile learning. If it comes easily, it usually goes easily. But when you engage deeply, wrestle with an idea, or push through uncertainty, you create mental grooves that are stronger and more lasting. Think about learning to ride a bicycle. You wobble, fall, scrape your knees. It's not smooth or easy, but once you've gone through the struggle, the skill becomes permanent. You don't forget how to ride a bike because you earned it through difficulty. That's how the brain works. It remembers what it had to work hard to understand. Here are some examples of desirable difficulties: spacing your study sessions instead of cramming, testing yourself instead of rereading, interleaving multiple topics instead of focusing on one, explaining ideas in your own words rather than copying them. These methods introduce friction. They make your brain work. But that's the point. The very act of effort signals to the brain that the information is worth storing. In one experiment, students were given text to read in a difficult-to-read font. You'd think that would hurt comprehension, but it didn't. It improved it. Why? Because the added challenge forced them to focus more deeply, to slow down, and process the content with greater attention. Desirable difficulties also create what scientists call retrieval pathways, multiple connections in your brain that help you recall information later. The more effortful the encoding, the more durable the memory. Let's say you're learning a new concept in physics. You don't get it the first time, so you reread, you ask questions, you wrestle with it over days. That mental friction is not a sign of failure. It's a sign that deep learning is taking place. Or you're trying to memorize a speech. You leave your notes behind and stumble your way through a practice run. It feels shaky, but the effort forces your brain to actively reconstruct the words, and in doing so, it solidifies the memory. Contrast that with passive review. It might feel better, but it doesn't work nearly as well. Comfort is deceptive. Mastery is forged in difficulty. So how do you embrace desirable difficulties? Welcome the struggle. Don't avoid what's hard, lean into it. Set challenges. Study under pressure. Remove crutches. Make recall more effortful. Stay persistent. Difficulty is not failure. It's a sign you're learning. One of the biggest takeaways from Make It Stick is this. Don't trust how easy it feels. Trust how well it sticks. Real learning is like climbing uphill. It's tiring, slow, sometimes frustrating. But when you reach the top, you own the view. You've earned it. And you'll remember how you got there. Chapter 6. The illusion of knowing how familiarity tricks your brain. One of the greatest dangers in learning isn't forgetting. It's thinking you've learned something when you haven't. It's the moment you glance at a page, recognize a sentence, and say to yourself, "Yeah, I know this." That feeling is deceptive. It creates a powerful illusion, the illusion of knowing. In Make It Stick, the authors explain how familiarity tricks the brain into believing mastery has been achieved. But recognition is not the same as recall. Understanding is not the same as being able to explain or apply. And reading something repeatedly doesn't mean you've truly learned it. Here's why this happens. When you reread something, your brain becomes fluent with the material. It flows easily, but that fluency can give a false sense of confidence. You feel like you know it, but ask yourself to retrieve it from memory, and the mind goes blank. This illusion is dangerous. It leads students to stop studying too early. It convinces professionals that they've mastered a concept they've only glanced at. And it fools us into believing that time spent is the same as knowledge gained. But real learning isn't passive. It's active. It's not about recognition. It's about retrieval, explanation, and application. Let's look at a real-life example. A medical student might read about a rare condition multiple times. Each time, the words feel more familiar. But in an emergency room, when the symptoms suddenly appear in front of them, can they recall the steps? Can they act? Recognition doesn't save lives. Retrieval does. Another example. An engineer preparing for a high-stakes presentation. She reviews her slides again and again. Everything looks familiar. But when the projector fails and she's forced to speak without notes, does she truly understand the concepts? That's the test of mastery. So how do you defeat the illusion of knowing? The answer lies in testing, explaining, and struggling. Self-quiz regularly. Ask yourself questions without looking at your notes. Explain concepts aloud. If you can't teach it clearly, you haven't learned it deeply. Create mental challenges. Write what you remember on a blank sheet. Compare it later. Mix and vary your study methods. Break the pattern to disrupt false fluency. Another powerful approach is to study with a partner. Teaching someone else forces you to clarify your thinking. It exposes the gaps between what you recognize and what you actually know. The authors also recommend being suspicious of ease. If something feels too smooth, it probably hasn't been truly mastered. If you think you know something, test it. Close the book, look away from the screen, and see if you can explain it. That's how you replace illusion with insight. In a world where information is everywhere, the real skill isn't accessing knowledge, it's owning it. And that only happens when you confront the hard truth. Knowing is not the same as recognizing. So don't settle for the illusion. Demand more from your brain. Make it work. Because only when you can stand alone with an idea without notes, without hints, without props, do you truly own that knowledge. Chapter 7. Elaboration. Make it meaningful. Make it stick. Imagine reading a sentence and immediately forgetting it. Now imagine reading that same sentence, pausing, and asking yourself, what does this really mean? How does it connect to something I already know? How could I explain this to a child? That second moment, that pause to reflect and explain, is where true learning happens. That's the power of elaboration. Elaboration means adding layers of meaning to what you're learning. It's the process of connecting new knowledge to what you already know, putting it in your own words, and explaining how and why it works. In Make It Stick, the authors emphasize elaboration as one of the most underrated tools in the learner's toolbox. It turns passive reading into active construction of knowledge. Think of your brain like a spider web. Every new idea you learn is a strand, but the more strands you connect it to, the stronger and stickier it becomes. Elaboration helps you build those mental bridges. Instead of just memorizing a fact, you explore it, question it, visualize it, explain it, and in doing so, make it yours. Let's look at a simple example. You learn that photosynthesis is the process by which plants turn sunlight into energy. You could stop there, or you could elaborate. Photosynthesis is like solar panels in plants. The chlorophyll acts like tiny panels that absorb sunlight and convert it into food. That's why leaves are green, because of chlorophyll. And this process is vital because it produces the oxygen we breathe. With each explanation, you're weaving that new knowledge into the web of what you already know. Or say you're learning a historical fact. The Berlin Wall fell in 1989. You could just memorize the date, or you could elaborate. The fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 marked the symbolic end of the Cold War. It was the result of rising pressure in Eastern Europe, economic collapse, and a population that demanded freedom. My parents were in school when it happened. It shifted global politics and led to the reunification of Germany. Now that fact is emotionally and contextually anchored in your mind. Elaboration isn't just about remembering more. It's about understanding deeply. When you elaborate, your brain engages in semantic encoding, storing information based on meaning, not just appearance or sound. This kind of encoding is much more durable. It's why stories, metaphors, and analogies help us remember they elaborate raw facts into rich experiences. Teachers often ask students to explain it in your own words. That's elaboration. And when you take time to do this yourself, you become your own teacher, which is one of the most powerful ways to learn. Here are some practical ways to practice elaboration. Ask why and how after every fact or idea you learn. Use analogies. Compare new ideas to things you already understand. Teach it to someone else, even if it's an imaginary audience. Create mind maps that visually show how concepts connect. Journal your learning. Write reflections after each study session, answering, "What did I learn today, and how does it relate to what I already know?" One powerful elaboration method is the Feynman technique. Named after physicist Richard Feynman, it involves four steps. Pick a concept you want to understand. Teach it to a child or write it out in simple language. Identify gaps in your explanation. Review and refine your understanding. This technique forces elaboration. It exposes what you truly understand and what you're pretending to understand. Here's the beauty of elaboration. The more you use it, the easier it becomes. Your brain starts looking for patterns, connections, analogies, and in doing so, builds a stronger internal framework for learning. You stop memorizing in isolation and start building knowledge like a living, growing network. So next time you study, don't just read. Don't just listen. Stop, think, explain, connect. Ask yourself, what does this mean to me? Because when learning becomes meaningful, it becomes unforgettable. Chapter 8, Generation. Try before you're taught. Imagine being handed a tough math problem you've never seen before. No instructions, no examples, just you and the puzzle. You might feel frustrated, even anxious, but what if that struggle, that raw, uncomfortable attempt, was actually helping you learn far more than simply being shown the solution? This is the power of generation, the act of trying to solve a problem or answer a question before being taught the solution. In Make It Stick, the authors emphasize that generation strengthens learning, even if your initial attempt is wrong. The act of generating guessing, struggling, creating triggers powerful learning mechanisms in the brain. You see, most people wait to be taught. They believe the correct path is to watch, copy, and then repeat. But studies show that when learners try to figure something out on their own, first, even poorly, their understanding of the final solution is deeper and more lasting. Let's look at a classic experiment. One group of students studied a passage of text. Another group tried to write down everything they knew about the topic first, before reading the passage. Who performed better on the test? The second group, the one that generated before being taught. Why? Because they activated prior knowledge, engaged their brain, and primed it to absorb new insights. Here's another way to understand it. Think of your brain like a dry sponge. If you pour water over a flat sponge, some will soak in. But if you squeeze the sponge first, if you activate it, it becomes more absorbent. Generation is that squeeze. It primes your mind to grasp and retain. The authors illustrate this beautifully with real-life examples. In language learning, people who try to guess the meaning of a word from context before looking it up remember the word better than those who just look it up first. Why? Because the act of guessing engages attention, activates effort, and builds a retrieval path. The same applies to math, science, writing, or even sports. Trying first lays the groundwork for deeper learning later. Let's make it practical. Say you're studying history. Before you read about the French Revolution, ask yourself, what do I already know? What caused it? What do I think happened? Write your guesses, then read. Now the new knowledge has hooks to latch onto and the memory is anchored. Or maybe you're learning to code. Instead of copying a working script, try writing one from scratch. It might break. That's okay. That broken attempt creates the mental terrain where understanding can take root. When you finally learn the correct syntax or logic, it clicks in a way it never would have otherwise. Even in professional life, generation works. A doctor reviewing a rare case might guess the diagnosis based on symptoms before consulting a reference. That effort, even if wrong, prepares the mind to absorb the correct answer. That's not just learning, that's training for expertise. Here's how to apply generation in your learning. Ask questions before reading. What do I already know about this topic? Attempt practice problems before studying examples. Write summaries before reviewing materials. Try teaching or explaining the idea before you're fully confident. Yes, this feels uncomfortable. Yes, you'll make mistakes. But as Make It Stick reminds us, error is not the enemy. In fact, error followed by correction is one of the strongest ways to learn. Generation makes your brain hungry, and that hunger drives deeper engagement. This flips traditional education on its head. Instead of waiting to be spoon-fed information, learners become active builders of knowledge. They lay the foundation themselves brick by brick, so when the teacher finally shows up with the blueprint, it fits perfectly. So don't fear the blank page. Don't skip the hard part. Dive in, try, struggle, and then learn. Because when you generate first, you don't just memorize, you understand. And that's how you make it stick. Chapter 9, Reflection. Learning by looking back. In a world that glorifies constant motion, reflection feels like a luxury. We rush from one task to the next, barely stopping to breathe, let alone think about what we just did. But in Make It Stick, the authors highlight a critical truth. Without reflection, learning is incomplete. Reflection is how experience turns into insight. It's how raw moments become refined understanding. Reflection is not just remembering. It's actively analyzing what you did, what worked, what didn't, and how you can do it better next time. It's the act of stepping back from your experience to ask, what just happened? Why did it happen that way? And what can I learn from it? Imagine a nurse finishing a difficult shift. She treated patients, made decisions, and navigated stressful moments. If she simply moves on, the learning stays shallow. But if she pauses even for 5 minutes and asks herself, what were the most challenging moments? What did I handle well? Where did I hesitate and why? She begins the process of deep adaptive learning. She's not just doing her job, she's getting better at it. Reflection is a form of retrieval plus elaboration. You recall what happened, then add meaning, context, and perspective. This process reinforces memory, sharpens skill, and deepens understanding. And it works in any field: education, medicine, business, sports, even parenting. In one study highlighted in the book, employees who spent 15 minutes at the end of each day reflecting on what they learned performed 23% better than those who didn't. That's not a minor boost. That's a transformative return from simply pausing and thinking. Reflection also reduces the illusion of knowing. When you look back honestly at your actions, you begin to notice where your understanding is shallow, where your habits are weak, and where your growth lies. It gives you a clearer picture of your own learning process, and that self-awareness becomes a powerful tool. Let's make it real. If you're a student, end every study session with three questions. What did I learn today? What was confusing or difficult? What can I do differently next time? If you're a public speaker, record your talks and review them, not just to admire your performance, but to analyze. Where did I connect with the audience? Where did I lose them? What worked and what didn't? If you're a writer, review your drafts, not just for grammar, but for clarity, flow, and emotional impact. Ask yourself, did I say what I meant? Did I connect with the reader? Reflection can be structured or informal. You can journal, record voice memos, or simply sit in silence for 5 minutes. What matters is the deliberate act of thinking about your thinking metacognition. It sounds abstract, but it's incredibly powerful. Here's a simple technique you can start today. The stop, look, learn method. Stop. Pause after any meaningful task or learning session. Look. Recall what you did, step by step. Be honest, not judgmental. Learn. Ask what worked, what didn't, and what you'll do differently next time. When you reflect, you gain control over your growth. You're no longer passively absorbing. You're actively constructing your knowledge, upgrading your skills, and reinforcing your insights. In a fast-paced world, reflection is your secret weapon. It doesn't take hours. It takes intention. And when practiced regularly, it transforms ordinary experience into extraordinary wisdom. So take time to look back, because it's the only way to move forward with clarity, confidence, and conviction. Chapter 10. Embrace failure, mistakes. Our fuel for mastery, failure. It's a word we're taught to fear from a young age. In school, a wrong answer brings red marks. In work, a failed project sparks anxiety. In life, mistakes can feel like proof we're not good enough. But in Make It Stick, the authors flip this narrative on its head. They reveal a bold truth backed by science. Failure is not the opposite of learning. It's an essential part of it. In fact, making mistakes is one of the fastest ways to learn, as long as we respond with reflection, correction, and persistence. Why? Because mistakes provide feedback. They expose gaps, they direct attention, and they trigger the brain to pay closer attention next time. Let's look at the research. In one study, students who attempted to answer tough questions before learning the material performed better later than those who didn't try at all, even when their answers were wrong. Why? Because the act of trying, failing, and then learning the right answer made the memory stronger. It's called the error correction effect. When you make a mistake and then immediately receive the correct answer, the contrast sticks in your mind. It's like a mental alarm bell. Hey, you thought this, but actually it's that. That conflict creates a deeper impression than passive review ever could. This is why struggle is good. Why getting things wrong isn't a setback, but a setup for deeper learning. But to tap into this power, we have to reframe how we view failure. Instead of shame, we need curiosity. Instead of avoidance, we need engagement. Let's consider real-life examples. A chess player loses a match because of a bad move. Instead of ignoring the game, she studies the board. She learns where she went wrong. That error becomes a seed for future success. A musician hits a wrong note in practice. Instead of starting over, he isolates the phrase, slows it down, and refines it. That mistake becomes mastery. Even in high-stakes fields, failure fuels growth. In aviation, flight simulators are designed to force pilots into mistakes. Engine failure, bad weather, emergencies, all simulated to train their responses. The errors made in practice create skills that save lives in real situations. And let's not forget the classroom. A teacher who allows students to guess, explore, and fail in a safe environment prepares them for real-world problem solving. She's not just teaching facts. She's teaching resilience, adaptability, and lifelong learning. But here's the key. Failure only helps when it's followed by feedback. Mistakes alone aren't magical. It's the reflection, correction, and repetition that turns them into lessons. That's where learning sticks. So how can you harness the power of mistakes? Lean into challenges. Don't avoid hard problems, seek them out. Guess boldly. Try answering questions before you're taught. Even wrong answers help. Analyze your errors. Ask, why did I get this wrong? What did I misunderstand? Correct immediately. Pair every mistake with the right answer while your brain is still alert. Track your patterns. Notice recurring mistakes. They point to skills you need to build. And most importantly, change your mindset. Mistakes aren't signs of stupidity. They're signs that you're stretching, growing, and pushing your limits. They are proof that learning is happening. One of the most powerful lines from Make It Stick is this. The path to mastery is not clean or comfortable. It's full of missteps, detours, and restarts. Think of learning like forging steel. The metal must be heated, hammered, and cooled again and again. Each impact, each error, makes it stronger. The same is true of your brain. So don't hide from failure. Use it. Embrace it. Learn from it. Because the people who grow the most in school, in work, in life, are not the ones who avoid mistakes, but the ones who master them. Chapter 11. Learning how to learn the transfer of mastery. True learning is not about memorizing answers for a test. It's about developing a flexible mind that can adapt, think critically, solve problems, and apply knowledge in new and unfamiliar situations. This is what the authors of Make It Stick refer to as transfer the ability to take what you've learned in one context and apply it to another. And here's the secret. Transfer is the ultimate goal of learning. Let's start with a simple idea. A student might memorize the Pythagorean theorem in math class. That's a good start. But real understanding comes when they use it to build a staircase, calculate the diagonal of a TV screen, or even map a straight path on Google Earth. They're no longer just repeating a formula, they're transferring it into real life. This kind of learning that transfers requires more than surface-level studying. It demands strategies that build mental models, deep understanding, and flexible thinking. From memorizing to meaning, rote memorization is brittle. You might recall facts under pressure, but without context, they fall apart when the situation changes. On the other hand, meaningful learning creates connections. It builds a mental structure you can revisit, reframe, and reuse. This is what allows a doctor to diagnose a new illness based on pattern recognition. It's what allows a chess player to see 10 moves ahead. It's what allows a writer to adapt their tone to any audience. This ability is not gifted to a few. It's a skill anyone can develop. And it starts by learning how to learn. Principles that support transfer. To achieve transfer of mastery, Make It Stick recommends several research-based practices. 1. Learn the underlying principles, not just procedures. If you only memorize how to do something, you might succeed in a controlled environment, but when the situation shifts, you're stuck. Understanding why gives you the ability to adapt. For example, instead of just learning how to solve an equation, ask, why does this method work? What is the logic behind it? That insight gives you freedom to apply it creatively later. 2. Use varied examples. When you study with diverse, mixed examples, your brain becomes better at seeing what matters and what doesn't. It trains you to identify core concepts, not just surface features. Learning how to negotiate. Don't just study business scenarios. look at family conflicts, international diplomacy, and team sports. This variation enhances your brain's ability to detect the principle behind negotiation persuasion. Compromise. Timing. 3. Reflect and ask, where else does this apply? After every learning session, pause and ask, where could this idea be used? How does it relate to something I already know? This simple act builds the mental bridges that support transfer. Learning about supply and demand? Apply it to relationships, time management, or personal energy. When demand exceeds supply, whether it's attention, time, or trust, you face scarcity. The same principle applies in economics and life. Developing a growth-oriented learning identity. At the core of transfer is a belief that you are capable of learning anything, anytime, at any age, if you use the right strategies. Too many people limit themselves because they believe learning is about talent. I'm not good at math. I can't write. I wasn't born creative. These are lies we tell ourselves. But Make It Stick reveals the truth. Learning is a process, not a fixed ability. It can be trained, strengthened, and expanded. The brain is plastic. It changes with use. And when you focus on learning how to learn, you unlock the potential to grow in every direction. Real-world applications of transfer learning. Let's explore some real-life examples where transfer is essential. Medical professionals. Doctors often face complex cases that don't match textbook descriptions. Transfer allows them to use knowledge from past experiences, integrate new symptoms, and build a diagnosis in real time. Game designers. They take principles from psychology, mathematics, and art to create interactive, compelling worlds. That's transfer in action, using multiple fields to master a craft. Entrepreneurs. They apply ideas from science, storytelling, marketing, and leadership. They might use concepts from behavioral economics to design pricing models or psychology to motivate their teams. Learning never stays in a box. Becoming a lifelong learner. To truly make learning stick, you must see yourself as a lifelong learner. That means asking deeper questions, not just seeking the right answers. Exploring outside your comfort zone, not just repeating what's safe. Transferring lessons from one area to another, not confining them to silos. Learning how to learn is your superpower in the modern world. It's what allows a programmer to pivot into AI, a teacher to become a coach, a parent to become a mentor, and a student to become a leader. Summary: how to build transferable mastery. Go beyond memorization. Understand the concept behind the content. Practice applying knowledge in different scenarios. Engage in self-reflection and elaboration. Seek connections across subjects and life experiences. Believe in your ability to grow, adapt, and transfer. Because in the end, learning isn't about just knowing, it's about using what you know to navigate the unknown. That's how you become not just a better student, but a wiser human being. Chapter 12, Teaching That Sticks. The science of effective instruction. Good teaching isn't about dazzling presentations, flashy visuals, or endless lectures. True teaching is about one thing: making learning stick. And as Make It Stick reveals, what feels like good teaching isn't always effective, and what feels difficult for students often produces the deepest learning. Let's begin with a surprising insight. Students often misjudge the quality of teaching based on how easy the material feels in the moment. A teacher who explains everything clearly, smoothly, and quickly may earn high praise, but the students often retain little. Why? Because easy learning is often shallow learning. In contrast, a teacher who challenges students with questions, forces them to struggle, and introduces desirable difficulties may seem less smooth, but creates far more lasting knowledge. The purpose of teaching is not to cover material. It's to uncover understanding. One of the key themes in Make It Stick is that effective instruction is not about the amount of content delivered. It's about how much of that content becomes usable knowledge in the mind of the learner. The best teachers act more like guides than performers. They help students retrieve information, reflect on mistakes, connect ideas, and practice application all the strategies we've learned so far. Characteristics of teaching that sticks. 1. Active retrieval is prioritized. Great teachers don't just present information, they ask students to recall it. This can be through quizzes, peer teaching, flashbacks to previous lessons, discussion-based review. Even low-stakes quizzing during class without grades significantly improves retention. Retrieval isn't just assessment, it's learning. 2. Feedback is immediate and constructive. When students make errors, effective teachers don't just mark it wrong, they use that moment to teach. They provide specific feedback, helping the student see the gap between their mental model and the correct one. Mistakes are not punished. They're used as fuel for growth. 3. Interleaved practice is encouraged. Instead of grouping topics into neat categories, great teachers mix them up. A math teacher might blend geometry and algebra. A history teacher might compare two eras. Why? Because life doesn't come in categories, and interleaving creates deeper understanding. 4. Spaced learning is built into the plan. Cramming is discouraged. Effective instructors return to key ideas over time, not just once. They might revisit a concept from week 2 in week 5, prompting retrieval and reinforcing memory. 5. Elaboration and discussion are routine. Students are encouraged to put ideas into their own words, explain to peers, or apply them in new scenarios. This active construction of meaning is how understanding is truly built. Great teachers don't just ask, "Do you get it?" They ask, "Can you explain it in your own words? Can you teach it to someone else?" Teaching is not telling, it's engineering engagement. Many educators assume their job is to transmit information like pouring water into a glass, but human brains don't work like containers. They're more like muscles, they only grow through effort. That means the best teaching creates struggle, not confusion, but productive struggle. It's the kind of effort that challenges students to think, reflect, and build their own knowledge. Think of a great coach. They don't play the game for you. They challenge you, push you, guide you until you grow stronger. Teaching that sticks treats the learner as the central actor, not the passive recipient. The classroom becomes a workshop of thinking, not just a stage for performance. The role of emotion, storytelling, and relevance, Make It Stick, also reminds us that emotion and meaning enhance memory. Great teachers, use stories to anchor ideas. Connect abstract concepts to students' lives. Inspire curiosity through real-world applications. When students care, they remember. When they feel invested, they engage deeply. So part of effective teaching is not just the technique, it's the emotional connection to the content. Teaching anyone, not just in classrooms. You don't have to be a formal teacher to apply these ideas, whether you're a parent helping your child with homework, a manager training your team, a coach developing athletes, a peer mentoring a friend. You are a teacher. And when you apply these principles, retrieval, spacing, feedback, elaboration, you help others learn in a way that lasts. Summary: how to teach so it sticks. Make students active participants, not passive listeners. Encourage retrieval and reflection every day. Provide feedback that corrects, not criticizes. Mix up practice and revisit topics over time. Create relevance, connection, and emotional meaning. Use mistakes as opportunities, not marks of failure. Because in the end, the goal of teaching isn't just to inform, it's to transform. And that only happens when the student walks away, not just knowing what to think, but knowing how to think. Chapter 13, Learning Across Ages. It's never too late to learn. We often hear it, "I'm too old to learn that." But Make It Stick presents a powerful truth. The brain never stops learning. Whether you're 17 or 70, your mind remains capable of growing, adapting, and acquiring new skills. Age is not a barrier to learning. It's a resource. In fact, older learners bring advantages that younger ones don't. Life experience, context, emotional maturity, discipline, and motivation. What they may lack in processing speed, they more than make up for in depth of understanding and purpose. Let's dive deeper. Neuroplasticity doesn't retire. One of the most hopeful insights from modern neuroscience is that the brain remains plastic or changeable throughout life. Neural connections can form at any age. You can build new habits, break old ones, and acquire complex skills even into your 80s and 90s. What changes is not your capacity, but the strategies you need to succeed. And Make It Stick is clear. The same principles apply to all ages: retrieval, spacing, interleaving, elaboration, reflection, generation, and feedback. Older learners might need more repetition or more time to retrieve a memory, but when they use the right strategies, they can retain knowledge just as well as younger people, and sometimes even better. The advantages of age. Older learners possess certain cognitive and emotional strengths that actually enhance learning. 1. Stronger contextual knowledge. Years of life experience give adults a mental library of references. When they learn something new, they can often connect it to something meaningful in their past. That makes elaboration and memory encoding much easier. For example, a retired engineer learning about artificial intelligence may grasp concepts more deeply by comparing them to old systems he once worked on. 2. More purposeful learning. Old learners tend to be more goal-oriented. They're not just learning for grades. They're learning for growth, career shifts, parenting, leadership, or passion. This intrinsic motivation fuels deeper engagement. 3. Greater emotional regulation. Adults are often more patient and persistent. They've experienced failure before and understand that struggle is part of growth, which aligns perfectly with the Make It Stick message. Desirable difficulties lead to lasting learning. Real-world stories of late learners. Make It Stick includes stories of learners who began new journeys later in life. A 50-year-old returning to college to study law, using self-quizzing and spaced practice to outperform younger classmates. A grandmother learning Spanish using flashcards and retrieval exercises to communicate with her grandchildren. A retired veteran learning how to code by interleaving practice between different languages like Python, JavaScript, and HTML. These stories prove a critical point. You're never too old to learn something new, as long as you use the right methods. Learning strategies for all ages. Regardless of your age, here's how to apply the core learning techniques. Use retrieval every day. Don't just reread, try to recall. Use flashcards, quizzes, or write down what you remember. Space your study sessions. Instead of cramming, revisit material after hours, days, or weeks. Mix your practice. Alternate between different topics or types of problems. Explain what you learn. Teach someone else, even if it's just to an imaginary audience. Reflect often. Ask yourself what worked, what didn't, and what you can improve. Embrace mistakes. Your errors are your most powerful teachers. Lifelong learning is a lifestyle, not a phase. We live in a fast-changing world. Technology, careers, communication. they all evolve. The most valuable trait isn't intelligence, it's adaptability. And adaptability depends on your willingness to keep learning. Whether you're a student, a professional, a parent, or retired, your ability to learn is what allows you to grow, contribute, and stay connected. And with the tools for Make It Stick, that learning becomes efficient, enjoyable, and lasting. So if you've ever thought, "It's too late for me," erase that belief. Replace it with, "Now is the perfect time to learn something new. I just need the right approach." Because in truth, learning is not a young person's game. It's a human superpower, and it stays with you for life. Chapter 14, The Learning Revolution. Applying these ideas to a changing world. We live in the most dynamic era in human history. Information doubles faster than ever. Technology transforms every industry. Careers evolve. Skills that were once cutting edge become obsolete overnight. In this fast-paced world, one truth becomes clear. Learning is no longer a one-time phase. It's a lifelong necessity. And that's why the ideas in Make It Stick aren't just helpful, they're revolutionary. This isn't just a book about studying. It's a blueprint for thriving in the 21st century. Because in today's world, the person who can learn effectively, adapt quickly, and apply knowledge across disciplines becomes unstoppable. Why? Old learning habits are no longer enough. Traditional education taught us to cram, memorize, and regurgitate. But those methods were built for a time when information was scarce and static. Today, information is abundant and constantly changing. The winners in this new era are not those who know the most, but those who can. Learn faster. Unlearn outdated ideas. Relearn with better tools. Transfer knowledge between domains. The revolution isn't just about what we learn, it's about how we learn. The new rules of learning. Let's revisit the principles of Make It Stick, not as academic theory, but as practical tools for thriving in a fast-changing world. 1. Retrieval practice. In a world where information is everywhere, the ability to recall and use it matters more than just storing it. The brain is not a filing cabinet. It's a muscle that strengthens through use. In the workplace, this means testing yourself regularly, not just relying on notes. In life, it means explaining concepts to others and using active recall instead of passive review. 2. Spaced repetition. With change being constant, cramming won't work. We need long-term memory, and that's built by revisiting knowledge over time. Apps like Anki and spaced repetition flashcards are now revolutionizing everything from language learning to medical school. And the same idea can be applied to mastering any field. 3. Interleaving. Success in the modern world depends on integrated knowledge. Interleaving mixing different subjects, skills, or topics trains the brain to switch contexts, spot patterns, and become more flexible. Whether you're learning to code, write, manage, or design combining multiple skill sets is how innovation happens. 4. Generation and elaboration. Creative problem solving starts with struggle. When we try to solve problems before knowing the answer, even if we fail, we prepare our minds to absorb knowledge more deeply. And when we elaborate, explaining what we've learned, we connect the dots. In the real world, this might look like brainstorming before a meeting, trying to build a prototype before reading the manual, or summarizing a book chapter in your own words before looking at notes. Becoming a learning machine in any industry. Let's look at how these ideas play out across different professions. Science medicine. Doctors, nurses, and researchers can't rely on old textbooks. They need to continuously update their knowledge and apply it in life or death situations, practicing case scenarios, self-testing, and reflecting after each case is how mastery evolves. Business entrepreneurship. In a volatile market, agility is power. Leaders who learn, pivot, and adapt will outlast competitors. Interleaving business models, reflecting on past decisions, and testing assumptions are no longer optional. They're essential. Creatives, artists. Creativity doesn't happen in isolation. It comes from learning across disciplines from psychology, storytelling, design, culture, and technology. Great creatives constantly learn, unlearn, and relearn. Technology. Programmers, developers, and engineers must learn new languages, frameworks, and tools often monthly. Without retrieval and spaced repetition, knowledge decays. Without generation, true comprehension never forms. Learning isn't just personal. It's cultural. The revolution doesn't stop at individuals. Entire organizations, schools, and institutions must shift how they approach learning. Schools must teach students how to learn, not just what to memorize. Companies must build cultures of continuous learning where mistakes are treated as feedback and innovation is built on experimentation. Families must model and encourage curiosity, not just performance. The future will belong to those who build learning cultures, not just training programs. How to apply the revolution in your life? Here's how you can start implementing this revolution today. Stop rereading and highlighting as your main tools. Replace them with quizzing, self-testing, and elaboration. Stop cramming. Use apps like Anki or physical flashcards to space your review over time. Stop practicing one thing at a time. Mix topics. Rotate between skills. Your brain will thank you later. Stop waiting to be taught. Try first, struggle, fail, then learn. Stop fearing difficulty. If it feels hard, it's probably working. Create your own system. Build a learning ritual that includes reflection, tracking progress, and adjusting strategies. Final thought: you are the revolution. You don't need permission. You don't need a school. You don't need a title. You are your own best teacher. The learning revolution isn't happening in institutions. It's happening in kitchens, bedrooms, offices, cafes, libraries, and anywhere someone says, "I'm ready to learn and I'll do it better, smarter, and more effectively than ever before." Make It Stick doesn't just change how we learn it. Changes who we become through learning. So rise up, join the revolution, and never stop learning how to learn. Chapter 15, Real Life Success Stories. When learning strategies change lives, knowledge becomes power, not when it's stored, but when it's used, applied, and lived. And nothing proves the power of Make It Stick more than real life stories of people who transformed their learning, performance, and confidence by changing how they learned. This chapter brings the science to life. These are ordinary people who achieved extraordinary results simply by shifting their strategies, from passive study to active learning, from cramming to spaced practice, from surface familiarity to deep mastery. These are stories of transformation. Let's explore them. Story 1. The struggling student who became top of the class. Meet James, a high school junior who had always believed he was bad at science. No matter how much he reread his biology textbook, he kept failing tests. His confidence dropped. His anxiety soared. He was about to give up. Then his tutor introduced him to retrieval practice and spaced repetition. Instead of rereading, James started using flashcards to quiz himself daily. He started mixing topics, doing genetics one day, then evolution the next. He stopped looking for comfort and started embracing productive struggle. Within one semester, James jumped from failing to the top 10% of his class. More importantly, he no longer feared science. He had learned how to learn. "The material didn't get easier," James said. "I just got smarter about how I studied." Story 2. The medical resident who stopped burning out. Sophia was a resident in her second year of medical school. She was overwhelmed. Thousands of terms, diseases, drugs, and symptoms blurred together. She was burning out from endless hours of reading and highlighting. Then she discovered spaced retrieval apps like Anki. She converted her study notes into bite-sized flashcards. She quizzed herself every morning during her commute. She stopped rereading and focused only on what she couldn't recall. Instead of trying to study harder, she started studying smarter, and everything changed. She began diagnosing faster, retaining more, and, most importantly, reclaiming her joy in medicine. "I used to feel dumb for forgetting," Sophia shared. "Now I realize forgetting is part of learning, and retrieval is how I win it back." Story 3. The 60-year-old entrepreneur who learned to code, Rajesh, a retired mechanical engineer, decided to learn Python at age 60. He joined an online course, but quickly became frustrated. He couldn't remember syntax, and watching tutorials wasn't enough. Then he read Make It Stick and changed his entire strategy. He began writing code by memory, not copying. He mixed problem sets, alternating between loops, conditionals, and classes. He reflected after each lesson, asking, "Where did I struggle? What did I learn?" 6 months later, Rajesh built a working app for his neighborhood, a water usage tracker. He didn't just learn Python, he became a programmer. "Learning isn't for the young," Rajesh said. "It's for the willing." Story 4. The creative who mastered public speaking. Maria was a brilliant designer, but terrified of public speaking. She'd avoid presentations and freeze when pitching to clients. She assumed she just wasn't good at speaking. But when she started using Make It Stick techniques, she realized it was a skill, not a trait. She practiced retrieval, delivering short parts of her talk from memory. She used spaced practice, giving mock presentations every few days. She reflected on each session, asking what went well and what to improve. Over time, her fear transformed into fluency. Today, Maria speaks confidently at national conferences. She credits not talent, but strategy. "I didn't become fearless. I became prepared." Story 5. The teacher who transformed a whole classroom. Mr. Alvarez taught middle school history. His students were bored, disengaged, and quickly forgot everything after exams. After reading Make It Stick, he redesigned his approach. He replaced lectures with Socratic questioning. He started every class with a quick retrieval quiz. He stopped teaching topics in blocks and began interleaving ancient, medieval, and modern events. Test scores improved. But more importantly, so did engagement. Students started connecting the dots between time periods. They remembered what they learned. They became thinkers, not memorizers. "I stopped trying to be impressive," he said, and started making learning real. What these stories teach us. Each of these people came from different backgrounds: students, professionals, retirees, creatives, teachers. But they all shared one thing. They stopped relying on ineffective learning habits and started applying the science of successful learning. The result? More confidence, more retention, more growth, more freedom. These stories prove what the research shows. Anyone can become a better learner, regardless of age, profession, or background. The key is not more effort, but better strategies. Summary. Let real stories inspire your own. Let these stories remind you. You're not bad at learning. You may have just been taught the wrong way. Struggle isn't a signal to stop. It's a sign that real learning is happening. Changing how you learn can change how you live. And remember, you are the next success story. You already have the science. You have the tools. All that remains is to apply them with purpose, with patience, and with persistence. Because when learning sticks, your potential becomes limitless. Make it stick. Make it yours. You've just journeyed through the science of how learning truly works, not as we wish it worked, but as it actually does. You've explored the research, the real-life stories, the strategies that matter, and the mindset that transforms ordinary effort into extraordinary mastery. And now, one final truth remains. Knowledge doesn't change your life. Applied knowledge does. You now know that? Retrieval beats rereading. Spacing beats cramming. Struggle strengthens memory. Mistakes are learning opportunities. Mindset is the foundation of mastery. The power is no longer in the book. It's in your hands. Because learning is not something you finish, it's something you live. Every day, every interaction, every challenge is a classroom if you approach it with intention and curiosity. Whether you're a student chasing grades, a professional building your career, a parent raising thoughtful kids, or simply someone hungry to grow, Make It Stick has handed you the keys to unlock your potential. But reading is just the start. Real transformation begins the moment you choose to act. So quiz yourself. Mix up your practice. Teach others what you learn. Reflect, revise, repeat. Build habits that outlast motivation. Build skills that withstand forgetting. And most importantly, build the kind of brain that thrives in any environment. Because in a world that rewards speed, you'll stand out by mastering depth. In a world full of noise, you'll rise through clarity. And in a world of shortcuts, you'll succeed through real, lasting learning. So go out there and make it stick. Make it strong. Make it count. Make it yours.